The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here are David Littlejohn and Katie Shook with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome to the True Wealth
Radio Show.
We are excited to be here. It's your favorite Tuesday you've had all week, and I am excited to share with you, the longer you listen, unlike drinking, the smarter and better looking you will actually get on this program.
I know there's a lot of people that get better looking the more I drink.
Well, that may be true, but if you listen to this show, it'll last longer. That's the truth, right?
That is the honest truth.
There you go. So get better looking and smarter listening to this show, or so I've been told, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Documented by lots and lots of fictional characters everywhere. We are glad that you have joined us today, where we are focusing on many things, but mostly today really will be a true wealth show.
Oh, nice. I like these shows.
These are fun, where we get to talk about the stuff that is working in life. And we're going to talk a little bit about a recent study that came out. This was published on Investopedia. Right. So if you've not heard
source.
Of Investopedia is kind of a fun one. Lots of great information that you can go if you want to learn more about the investment world. And talking about how much people are saving in their 401k plans. And I think that's a fascinating study right now.
Okay. When was this study done and when was it published? Because I'm pretty sure those numbers have changed drastically in the last couple months.
Well, you know, we might be pushing it a little bit to say in the last couple of months. So I'm going to try to drag it up. It's not actually ready already, but we'll get there.
So give me the Cliff Notes. By the way, that is a funny thing to even say because our generation remembers what Cliff Notes is. But you say Cliff Notes to, like, I said, I made the mistake and I said, let me get a Xerox of that. And my kid goes, what's a Xerox? And I was like, now I got to explain.
Well, here, let me test you. Do you know what a mimeograph is?
A mimeograph?
Aha, see?
Is that like, are those like the blue colored ones that our teachers used to use?
Yeah, where we had like the thing that rolled around.
Where we had like the really crappy copies of everything growing up in school. I was like, how many times have you copied that? Like, I can't even read the number.
The copy, it's pretty thin.
It was awful, right?
Yes, it was.
Well, I remember having like those clear vellum sheets that they used to draw on with the dry erase markers, with the overhead projector. And
Oh, goodness. The times passed, right?
Our kids have no idea.
You know, we had to go walk to school uphill both ways.
In the snow and the rain.
Yes, with our books in one hand, and you had to carry your cold lunch in the other, and it was,
I don't remember my teachers having microwaves in their classrooms for us to use.
That was not a thing.
No.
That was like, and if they existed, it was not accessible.
I remember just getting excited if a teacher had candy. It's like, oh, you did a good job. You got a piece of candy today. I was like, oh.
Yep. Oh, how the time. Of course, I remember when we had classrooms.
Oh.
I know.
Trust me, our children do too, and they wish we did again. So.
Yes. Well, I trust we will eventually move that direction. So I'm going to just remind you, I have faith in certain things. Okay. We're not going to dwell much on the chaos that is this world, but I will say I have faith for a couple of reasons. One, because I think that generationally we do learn and change.
True.
Right? And so some people, there are things that are hard to get over. You're born with it, and it's not that you can't learn it, but it's just hard. But the next generation gets a different take and a different take. And so like right now, today is, I think they're calling it Blackout Thursday. It's part of the Black Lives Matters movement. I don't know what to add to that other than this simply. Be a part of the change that you want to see.
Be a solution, not part of the problem.
Yeah. So be, exemplify that though.
And teach this lesson to your children and your grandchildren.
And so that's it. It's just then don't, and be educated. If there's a element of racism that you don't know or understand, then learn about it. Right. Be open. Right. That goes for everybody. Right. It's not, racism is not a single issue, because we could say it a different way. If it wasn't racism, it could also be unfair stereotypes.
Fair enough.
We unfairly stereotype lots of people.
Well, I had a conversation the other day with a gentleman who is Indian, and not Native American Indian, but like from India, Indian. Mm-hmm. And he said, we even are racist against our own kind. Like, we grade on the color of their skin or what region they're from. And so he goes, it's not, you know, like, so there's some racism that exists even in between
the same culture. That's the reality. Some of it, there are reasons it's hard. Okay. Some of this is part of a fight or flight mechanism. Now, that's something worthy of noting, because so this is not self-promotion, but it is sort of, I guess, if you go to, we have a YouTube channel and you can see some of the things. And back in 2017, I gave a TED talk, right, a TEDx talk here locally about what I call the think-feel conundrum. And the summation of it is this, that in periods of heightened stress, we transition from logical, rational thinking to essentially a fight or flight response. And the fight or flight doesn't just have to be in an immediate threat situation. It can be in a prolonged, aggravated state of stress. If you're under a lot of stress at your job, think about if you're a single parent trying to balance all of the things in your life and the amount of stress that you are under. What will happen is that persistent state will make it very, very difficult, if not impossible, to engage in certain pragmatic or logical thinking, because you're essentially triggered into that fight or flight, and it's a chemical response,
and
right?
And by the way, we're not picking on any gender, age,
no, this
race.
Is everybody. This is
a chemical
this
thing
is like
that
a
happens
human
in your
brain
body.
Function thing.
Right, so I'm going to bring up, I know you're still looking, I don't know if you're still looking for the thing.
I got it. Yeah.
So there's an interesting show on Netflix right now, and it's called 100 Humans. And they actually do experiments, and they have all sorts of ages, races. So they lumped them based on age groups, because a lot of them is testing like the 20s versus the 30s versus the 40s. Mm-hmm. And different groups come out victorious in different challenges. So it kind of depends. But it was interesting because they actually did one with a gun, right? And they compared between, like, you know, would you kill an innocent versus someone who looks guilty? But the funny thing is, kind of going around all of this race stuff, is the casting director was actually a black man, and they put him in there. And interestingly enough, most of the humans actually pulled the gun on him, and they were talking about bias and gender bias and racial bias. They were actually, and then they, just to make sure that it wasn't left right biased, they actually put him half the time on the left side and half the time on the right to make sure they kind of eliminated other bias. And once the people that did actually pull the gun, who would have, you know, like, there wasn't live rounds or anything
right.
It was a simulation. People were actually very emotional and distraught, thinking that they might have killed somebody that they knew and actually cared very, like, respected highly and had fun with. And so it was a very fascinating study just on the way we perceive the world. But so if you're binge watching Netflix and looking for something scientific and kind of interesting based on different biases that we have, 100 Humans is a very fascinating show.
It's incredible. We all have, like, we literally all of us have blind spots, things that you don't recognize that you do, whether it's a communication style or something that you ignore. And a lot of biases, just so we're clear, can be overcome with it's called training, right? You may have an initial response to something, but and it stays in your head, and you gather yourself. You know, so it's like, this is a joke, okay? And I hope for everybody else listening, it's a joke too. This is not real. But let's say that, you know, my kid is being really irritating, and I just want to smack him, right? Okay, you just want to smack him, but you don't actually do it. You know, you gather yourself
Are
in
you
your
sure?
head. You're like, I want to smack.
Are you
it.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm not advocating
abuse. The great
abuse.
Debate of spanking.
I'm not advocating abuse on the show here. You know, we're not going there, not today. But the idea is, you know, you may even think to yourself, like, but you don't. You gather yourself and you do the parent thing and you go, hey, look, cut it out. There's going to be other consequences. You know, you set whatever parameters and you rein it in. And every kid's different and every parent's different. But the idea is, are you lashing out in anger, or do you compose yourself, right?
There's times. So I used to joke around a little bit when Sophia was an infant, and you know, when you have that binky and the kids like spit out the binky or the whatever you want to call it, the pacifier, for the umpteenth time, and you're like, I get why a parent would duct tape it to their mouth. Now, I've never done that, nor do I advocate for that, right? That's not the right way to do it. But you get the irritation again, the over and over and over again irritation, where I'm like, haha, that's funny. I get where a parent, like, why a parent would think that would be a solution, even for a minute.
Well, let me put it this way, like, it is a solution. It's not an okay one.
It's not an okay one.
You know, I used to tease, we had kids that would get out of bed and they just wouldn't stay in bed. I'm like, you know what would be great? A blanket sleeper, pajamas made of Velcro. You just stick into the sheets. And then I was like, yeah, but if there was ever a problem, and you know, you can't do that. Come on. But you,
but there's a moment where you're like,
somebody's going to misquote that someday and be like, you want a Velcro? No, I'm not saying that.
I never actually did it. I only thought it. And I kind of smirked when I did it.
Exactly. It's like, you know, the part of me that's like, hee, and they're like, no, you can't do that.
But, or could I?
But you get the idea, is that there's a difference between what you think and what you do.
Okay,
and
so,
we can train around those. That's my point.
There's a difference of what you could do and what you should do. And I say that actually a lot in our office, because we do get phone calls about financial questions. And they're like, can I do this?
Like,
and
I'm like, can you?
Well,
I
legally,
suppose it's
you can.
Within your grasp, but why? That would be self-harm.
Do you want to do that? Because that's going to kind of blow up your taxes. And they're like, oh, well, no, I didn't really want to do that. I wanted to do this thing. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about what you actually want to do.
Right.
And let's get the mission done together. So there's sometimes the lack of information. What you can do legally and what you should do are not always the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Like there's legality, and then there's social norms and other things, but I digress. It's just funny what you can do. So that's my kind of mantra, I think, for the last few years, even in the office.
Oh, yeah. We say that all the time. What you can do and what you should do
are not the same thing.
My whole point of this entire segment was understanding the difference between think and feel, right? The feel emotion is the one that can lead you down. You know, passion leads to decisions that you sometimes regret. Logic sometimes leads you to decisions that you regret. But statistically speaking, the passionate decisions tend to be the ones that cause you the most problems.
Well, and we talk about this a lot for investing, but not necessarily in our personal lives.
Right.
But it matters in the same place. And
I'm going to bring it back to investing today. We'll actually bring this in, because this whole thing that's going on in the world. Well, it's important, but it is relevant, because there may be knock-on effects to the market, to the economy. Right. So we're still trying to determine what that means. There's certainly underlying social elements at play here that are significant and worth exploring, even though that's not the purpose of this show. Right. The purpose of this show is about finance and education and helping you to harness true wealth.
We talk about human behavior all the time when it comes to
investing.
Do. So understanding human behavior is important.
But that's where we're going to kind of gravitate on this one, is that in the midst of all the chaos, let's see if we can't find a couple of shreds of sanity and a couple of ways that we can maybe pump the brakes for ourselves to make sure that what we are doing is being part of the solution.
Okay.
And that we are trying to engage in a thoughtful fashion, right? Because that's my...
Preach it, brother.
Emotions are, we've said this on the show many, 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 many times. Emotions sacrifice accuracy for speed.
They do.
Okay? Emotions sacrifice accuracy for speed. So we're going to talk about how can we be more accurate in our behavior, specifically around investing and around true wealth. We're going to unpack some of that. We're going to take a break because we need to. So when we come back, let's get into a little bit of this idea. So first off, thinking about our future, which is weird today, how much should you be saving? And we're going to talk about where you are in the picture and where you might want to go. That and more when we come back. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Schoen.
And you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. I am your host, David Littlejohn, my co-hostess.
Oh, I love it. Although, every time you say hostess, it makes me want chocolate. I'm Katie Shook.
All right. And the chocolatier with me. So, Katie yeah, in studio.
I am not the COVID person that's coming out 20 pounds lighter. I'm not heavier, but I'm not 20 pounds lighter. That's for sure.
Yeah, this is...
I'm kind of guilty about eating a little bit of my feelings during this time.
I have made the tactical error, perhaps, of attempting to change my eating habits while in the middle of changing everything else in our lives that is the COVID shift or whatever we call it. So I'm doing the no-carb thing right now.
How's that
not
working
the
for
low
you?
Carb. Well,
you
okay.
actually look thinner, though. You've slimmed down some.
A little bit, I have. And it's, you know, I'm also moving more. With the sun waking up earlier, I get to wake up earlier.
David is solar powered.
I really am.
He might as well just have like one of those solar panels on your top of your head or something, because you are totally solar powered.
It's crazy how much happier I am when the sun is out and shining. I'll go to bed right now at 11:30 midnight. Sun's coming up and I'll wake up at 4:45 and I'm like, all right, let's go tackle the world. And if I got that much sleep in the wintertime, I'd be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, David wakes up. You're like a groundhog. No sun, no shadow. It's like, oh, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, it's like we're hibernating.
We're hibernating.
As going I like to say, it's like, you know what? I'm going to need a comforter and some gravy.
A bowl of gravy. I was just gravy.
It's time
just
to
the
nest.
The thought of that just makes me like my arteries clogged.
I just need to just shell away.
Oh.
Anyway, so... I'm issuing challenges. You want to know the fitness challenge of the month? Who wants to join me? I have a fitness challenge for you.
Well, I want to hear it first before I agree to join.
Okay, so right now the fitness challenge is simply, I will share it with you. I have to go back here. So, because it comes from there's an equation. I'm not going to share what it is, but any of you listeners that figure it out, email us at info@littlejohnfs.com. So here's the deal. It's 8 push-ups, 10 sit-ups, and 6 air squats. And if the bonus would be, if you have the ability to do them somewhere, 8 pull-ups.
Okay. And how many times are you repeating this cycle?
Well, today I would say if you could go through it 3 cycles, you'd be great. But all you have to do is one time.
And does this
right?
change because every day, or is this like this is it
change,
for the month?
It'll change every day.
Now, are you going to post this out? I'm challenging you. Are you going to post this on our Little
okay,
John?
Okay, we will.
David is going to post.
Okay, so
this
you'll help remind me to get it set up tomorrow. But we will
on
post
Facebook
this.
On our Little John page every day if you want to accept the challenge.
Yep. So if you want to accept the challenge,
all right.
And this is it's a gentle person's challenge, right? Gentleman's or gentlewoman's challenge. So there's nothing riding on this other than your personal fitness. But I'm going to post these every day. And then what you can do is private message our business page. And when you do, if you can figure out the pattern of where the numbers come from, okay? Because I am not I'm not making them up. I want to see if you can figure out what the pattern is.
It's not like something like pie.
No. This is actually
which
remarkably
would be really
easy. It's remarkably easy. And what we'll do is we will also, on the next show next week, I will give another hint if nobody has got it. Okay, nobody's figured it out. And if we figured it out, then I'll share the answer next week.
So they're
week.
Supposed to private message you the answer?
Private message, because I don't – it's more fun if we don't do it in the big thread where everybody starts – I can't stop you. If you're – I mean, I guess
if
I could go –
you're going to post it, you're going to post it, but yeah.
Right. Okay. So if you want to just say, like, all right, it's this. Okay.
All right.
But let's make it a challenge for people.
When the show is over, David is going to find that and screen share it to our Facebook page, or at least screen
right.
share
so
it to
I'll,
me.
So I'll go post it on Facebook. So it's 8 push-ups, 10 sit-ups, 6 air squats, which is just doing like a standing squat, no weight or anything, and then 8 pull-ups. And the pull-ups are, if you don't have a pull-up bar, don't do it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, pull-ups are kind of hard. Although okay. You can get that bar that hangs in like your doorway.
Well,
somehow,
you know,
but not everybody
has
one of those.
If you want to add it, to the rest of it, then that's fine. But that's, I'm not advocating that you do... If you don't have the ability to do pull-ups because you don't have the equipment, then so be it. But everybody could do push-ups, sit-ups, and air squats. And you're welcome to modify it to your fitness level. And if you're in great shape, you should just do this because of the novelty of it, and then go do whatever workout you're going to do. If you're not in shape at all, then this is your starting point, right?
Cool.
But this is our June challenge. So we're going to go through June, and we'll see if people can figure it out. And it will change, and it will be pretty random.
Well, so I'm going to say I'm going to accept the challenge.
Okay.
Because I'm like, okay, doing it once, I can do it in like less than 5 minutes. So, And obviously my goal would be to do it more than once. But I think I could do something like that at least once.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll accept the challenge. We'll see. Now, I'm somewhat setting myself up a little bit for failure because my life is a little hectic in the next couple of days.
Well, doing a total of 8 push-ups, 10 sit-ups.
I can do it. It's not much.
And 6 air squats could be done in under 2 minutes.
Right. Like, this is not complicated stuff. So I would say if you are accepting, here's my other thing. If you're accepting the challenge, which I'm going to do, set an alarm on your phone that says do the daily workout.
You also get bonus point. Let's share this on Facebook. It'd be kind of fun. I'd love to see how many people we can get on this and see if they can figure it out. Again, it's not super sophisticated. If somebody's going to figure this out, they're going to be like, argh. But this is it's relevant to the show. It's relevant to your health. There is no downside to doing this. I think provided that there's no medical reason that you don't do these, we can all benefit from moving just a little bit. And these are not such high numbers that they should be exhausting. Look, if you can't do a push-up, do them from your knees. Modify it so
that
you
can. You can stand and do one with the wall. Like, you can do a standing push-up if you had to. If you can't get down on your knees,
right,
do a standing one.
Yeah,
just lean into the wall.
Just kind of lean into the wall. Get the weight that you can manage and do that. Okay.
So, wait. One more time. What are the numbers? It's what?
8 push-ups.
Okay.
10 sit-ups.
Okay.
6 air squats.
Air squats, okay.
And then 8 pull-ups. The last one is the trickiest one. Trying to figure out where that one comes from is the trickiest one. The only hint I'm giving you right now.
Okay. All right. We can do that.
Okay.
Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted.
Okay.
All right. Next.
So you, before we left, you said, how much do you need to be saving?
Yes, you need to save 8 push-ups. No, I'm kidding. this comes from this study. So, you know, Fidelity has done some studies for a while now, and they talk about how much money you should have saved up by different ages.
Oh.
And I think this is really helpful. There's a couple of shortcuts that I'm going to share with you. So
I like your shortcuts.
These are napkin plan financial tips. Okay.
Yep. Simple enough, you can draw it on a napkin.
There you go. Napkin plan financial advice may even find its way onto one of those little radio promos that we do. They're that easy. So the first one is the Fidelity study said, how much money should you have in a retirement plan by the time you are 30? Now, it's not a dollar figure. Although, generally speaking, they did say the dollar figure is you should have about $50,000. But what they said is you should have 1 year of your salary.
By the time you're 30.
By the time you're 30.
Okay.
So, by the time you're 40, you should have 3 times your annual salary.
Okay.
By the time you are 50, it should be 6 times your salary. And by the time you are 60, you should have 8 times your salary.
Okay.
And then at 67, and why age 67? Because that's full retirement age.
Well, that's full Social Security age.
Full retirement age for Social Security.
I was going to say, because technically for retirement plans, retirement age is 59 and a half. And
yeah,
that hasn't
or
moved.
55 even.
If you're in a 401k and still
you're
working.
Separate from service after the age of 55, then you can access that out of the 401k plan without the tax penalty.
Okay,
or in case it's this year where it's COVID exemptions and now there's no early withdrawal penalties.
Yeah.
And there's other exotic rules that even advisors are starting to figure out, like you can borrow from your IRA and put it back over the next 3 years if you have certain triggering hardship events. And it's like, oh, buddy. You know, the IRS is going to be chasing their tails on that one.
I'm excited and fearful of all of the weird rules they're going to create by the end
Here's the simple rule on retirement.
What was 67? I wrote them all down, but 67.
67, 10 times.
10 times. Okay, so we're building our way up to 10 times.
10 times income. Our salary. Your salary.
Okay.
And then I've got another sort of back of the napkin calculation for you.
Okay.
If you want to know
how much do I need to retire?
So yeah, how much do I need to retire? Then we're going to play a game and we're going to play it backwards. Okay. First you go, what kind of life would you love to live one day? Like if you could pick your retirement, what would it look like?
Celebrity status.
Okay. And you figure out like what's it cost? You know, how much money are you going to spend each month?
You know, there's some fixed factors in that, and then there's some moving ones. That the fixed factors, you know, when you start talking about like, oh, well, if my house is paid off, then I have property taxes and utilities and stuff, and those will go up over time, but like not.
Those are what I call life support costs, right? So what's the life support number?
But the one that's the moving part that I'm like, I don't know, is stuff like travel. I've talked a lot about travel. It's one of my passions and my hobbies. I love to travel, and I have no clue what travel is going to cost 20, 30 years from now. I just don't.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, are airplane tickets still going to be $50 to $500? Are they going to be like $3,000? How is the cost of inflation going to affect that? Are we going to have inflation? You know, are we going to be traveling by different means 20, 30 years from now? I don't even know how to price that into my retirement plan, David. How would you price something like that in? Well, if I were a client sitting in front of you going, hey, my job, I want to travel for at least a solid month a year. So and have many vacations.
First, I would say, let's not talk about future prices. Let's talk about today.
Okay.
If you could retire right now, like if you were going to just say, Katie, you know, magic wand, poof, you're retired. Now you need to know how much money do you think you're going to spend? And I'm going to say kind of on average in a month. And then we're going to talk about how much do you think you'll spend in a typical year.
Okay. And I'm just giving you figures.
Yeah.
And we're just talking hypothetically.
Yeah.
Okay. So average in a month, $7,000 to $8,000.
Okay, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna kind of err on the high side.
Okay,
of things,
so let's do $8,000 a month. So
$8,000, and let's say that you know, if we had 2% inflation, which we don't, what we would do is say, because this is the cheat, right? How do you figure out how much you need? So if you want $8,000, now I'm gonna ask you the next question: how much do you think that you're gonna get from fixed income sources? And then again, let's just use today's dollars because everything in theory should adjust roughly aligned with inflation.
So when you say fixed income sources, stuff like rentals and retirement accounts.
If you have income, yeah, let's say that you've got a pension plan or Social Security or something else that you expect is going to pay you money in retirement. So let's start with Social Security. You said you want to spend $8,000 a month, and let's say you have Social Security. What do you think is a reasonable amount of Social Security?
I'm going to be honest. I have no idea what the caps are in Social Security and how that works.
They're close to $3,000 right now.
Okay, so let's say I maxed out and I get $3,000 a month from Social Security.
Okay, let's say that. So first what we're going to do is we're going to take the $8,000 and we're going to subtract $3,000 from it.
Okay.
So now we're down to $5,000 a month.
Okay.
Okay.
Man, now, I should have started with a higher number.
The reason that we do it this way also is because we need to know how much savings we have to put into a pot, right?
Right.
The Social Security is kind of a pot somebody else is putting away for us. And we could have another debate on whether or not we think it'll be there.
We're not going to go there.
That's not the point
today.
Of the show
okay.
today.
So
okay.
We're going to take away the three. We have five
now,
to figure
so
out how to make
5,000,
up.
And now do we have any other sources? Do you have a pension? Do you have an annuity? Do you have, like, were you a teacher and you're
no.
going to get PERS or
so
something?
So I got none of that
okay,
fun
so,
stuff.
So we'll keep it easy. Now you've got $5,000 a month that you're looking to spend in today's dollars.
And because my husband sells real estate and it's been one of our goals, I'm going to say, you know what? We have a property rental that brings in $1,500 a month.
Okay,
so
perfect.
Let's add that in.
And
there
let's
too.
Say it's paid for. So $1,500, and that's going to be pretty consistent income for you. Then what we can do is we could say, well, let's take $5,000 and subtract that $1,500 from it as well. Now you have about $3,500 a month that you need to be able to create
to
from
pull
other
from
resources.
A retirement
so,
plan.
So your nest egg needs to generate $3,500 a month.
Right.
Now I'm going to make another assumption here.
Okay.
And the assumption is that you would like this money to last a while.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I would like to leave
like maybe
an inheritance
longer
to
than
my
you.
Children.
Okay. So what are we going to do next?
Plan.
We're going to take a break. I'm going to hang you on this one so that when we come back, you're going to understand how are we going to finish the math so that we know how much do we put into our retirement plan. We're really close, but you got to wait for the other side of this break to find the rest of the equation. We'll be right back. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Schiff.
And you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
All right, gang. Welcome back to the True Wealth Show, where, don't worry, we're explaining it too, but we are doing math. Can you believe it? Math on the radio? How can it be, Katie? How can
In
it be?
In your head, shortcuts. Gotta love it. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. So
we were talking about my hypothetical future, and I have...
I'm
Social
cheating.
Security and a rental, and you're going to help tell me.
If you're just joining us, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, you're doing what? Look, here's I'm going to tell you what we're doing. This is called a financial planning on the back of a napkin. And the idea is you need to know how much to save. We're talking about how much a Fidelity study says that you should save by the time you are certain ages, right? So by the time you're 30, you should have a year's worth of income in savings or in your retirement plan specifically. By the time you're 40, it should be 3 times your annual salary. At 50, it should be 6 times. At 60, it should be 8 times. And at age 67, 10 times the amount of money that you are earning per year for you to maintain your lifestyle, right? So if you're making $75,000 a year, you should have $750,000 saved somewhere.
Wow.
But you know, there's another way to do this, right? And so this was the math around, well, what if I wanted to build a lifestyle in retirement? I wanted a certain lifestyle. That's what I asked you, Katie. So what's your life in retirement look like?
Lots of travel.
And you said, yeah, I want to travel and I want to do some fun stuff. And I said, how much do you think that's going to cost you? And then you said, I don't know. I said, no, let's talk about it today. Don't think about future pricing or anything. Just say today, if you could retire right now and we waved that wand and gave you that retirement life, what would you do and what would it cost? And you came up with the number of between
$7,000 and $8,000. So we said $8,000.
And like any financial guy, I said, well, I'm going to get the big number.
Yeah, like let's not see how little we can live on. Let's
and
go for the bigger number.
Well, I like to have cushion because, right, if we plan for we need more money, and then we get a worse return, and we have all kinds of other issues that don't go the way we planned, and it still works out. We got some cushion, right? We got a little bit of wiggle room in our plan,
so
and that's what we want.
When Snowmageddon happens and a tree falls on your house and you need to replace your roof,
you can maybe do it without bankrupting yourself.
There you go.
So we're looking for...
That's a legit example, too, by the way, of some of the things that our retirees happened to deal with last year.
So we want to have a different situation, and... we want to be in a financially decent position. So how are we going to do this?
Okay.
Well,
so I said $8,000. Yeah.
Right? We need a target. So you want $8,000. And I said, well, that's great. Are you going to have any other income sources?
And I said, yes, I'm going to have Social Security, and a property rental.
And what you said is my Social Security, I love it because you immediately went to like, I'm going to make $3,000 a month on Social Security. I'm like, okay. I think that that's pretty high. That means you've got to...
It is. It's pretty ambitious. But
it makes the math easy, so we're totally running with it, right? So you also have a rental property that between now and retirement you plan to invest in, and you expect that to pay you $1,500 a month.
Right.
So between $1,500 a month of rental income and $3,000 of Social Security.
Right.
And maybe $3,000 is appropriate if we're talking about you and Thomas. Right, so
true.
Two incomes, $3,000 is not far fetched at all.
Right,
and if $8,000 is like the family income need there, then you go, okay, well that's everything else paid for. That's pretty
right. So like if the house
decent.
Is paid for and it's
right.
yeah, so I'm getting
so
these
the
incomes.
Numbers aren't crazy.
Okay,
right? You know, and we look at this and say, well, how much is left? We had $8,000, we took $3,000 out, and we did. Now we had $5,000, we had to fill the gap. Then we took $1,500 of rental income out. That's $3,500 that we need to generate per month from what we have.
So what kind of math do we need to do?
Okay, so first of all, are we talking about $3,500 before or after taxes?
After.
Okay, after. So if it's after taxes, then we need to kind of approximate our blended tax rate. So we're talking about state and federal and so forth.
Okay.
Okay, so what is that number, do you figure?
Oh, I don't know. Is it like
25%.
I was gonna shoot for 25.
So
yeah.
Here I'm gonna cheat now. Now if you're following along with your calculator, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna divide $3,500 a month by the number one minus my tax rate. Okay.
Okay.
So what it's gonna be is 1 minus 25% is 75%. So I'm gonna divide by 0.75.
Okay.
So 3,500 divided by 0.75, and as I'm putting it in the calculator, it didn't take the decimal point. There we go. 0.75 is $4,667.
Okay. So my number that I need to hit is 4,667 every month.
So 4,667.
Okay.
Now, here's where the math gets a little interesting. If we wanted to be comfortable with the idea that $4,667 a month is not going to run out on us, okay, we need a nest egg where we're only spending the earnings and the interest, right?
Right.
We're not going to spend the seed corn.
No,
just
I love
the
that you
harvest.
Call it seed corn.
Just the harvest.
You farmer.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to multiply the number that we came up with by. Well,
wasn't it like 300 or something astronomical?
It actually is 300. There's a total mathematical
winner,
rationale
winner,
for it.
Winner, chicken dinner.
I'm not going to worry about the math. If you want the math, go to, again, email us. I'll tell you the math. Or give me a hard time and we'll share it on air. But I think everybody's eyes are going to roll back in their head. But it
so we're talking like 1.5 million.
So roughly, all right, so because we're going to multiply this by 300, yeah. And it comes out to 1.4 million.
Give or take 100,000.
Okay. So $1.4 million. And here's why it works. Because what happens is what's considered a safe withdrawal rate is 4%.
Right.
Like historically, if you don't take out more than 4%, you're unlikely to outlive your money. Okay. So a 4% withdrawal rate and you do over 12 months, right? So
right. What's
1.4 million times 0.04, that's the 4%. That turns out to be $56,000 a year. And if we divide that by 12, that turns out to be $4,667.
Look at that, people.
And that's what happens is it's 12. So you multiply your monthly times 12, and then you divide it by 0.4, which is the same as multiplying by 20. So 20 times 12 is what?
Crazy.
Right?
Look at all the fun shortcuts.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It's
David's having a hard time doing
25.
Calculator math.
Because 4% is 1/25th.
Right.
Right? So instead of 1/25th, you multiply by 25 to get the next. So 25 times 12 months, 12 times 25 is 300.
All right. So I'm sitting in David's office. I'm 40 years old, and he's just told me that I need to have $1.4 million in the bank. And I have a little gut check and a little knot in my tummy going, that sounds like a lot of money, Dave.
Well,
now I figure I'm going to work for about another 25 years. Let's say 65, right?
Sure.
65 sounds like a good retirement. That's kind of my rough retirement age that I usually kind of throw around with people, about 65.
Okay.
Right? So how, I mean, because that just sounds like an astronomical amount I need to save over the next 25 years. So how do you figure out how to tell me how much to save every month now?
Well, I'm going to go to one of the calculators on our webpage.
Okay.
And it's going to say, how much should I save each month? And how much are we starting with? Let's say we're starting with zero.
I was going to say, let's just start from the beginning, right? Like, I just walked, I had this brilliant moment,
nothing.
I listened to the show.
And let's say that we can get, let's shoot for an 8% annualized return.
Okay.
And you're going to go for 25 years, you said?
Yep.
So what I did was I went to our webpage,
littlejohnfs.com. Yep.
I went to the tool section, I went into the calculators, and there's a deal, then the calculator
at the
says,
bottom of it,
how
it
much
talks
should
about
I
retirement
save each
stuff,
month?
Yeah.
And we're going to start with a zero balance. We're going to do an 8% annual rate of return, a savings goal of $1.4 million, and a number of years we're going to try to save. And I'm going to compute this. And it says to me, grind. I need to save $1,472 a month to reach my savings goal.
Oh, okay. So that actually, when you look at the math.
So it's $1,472.
I mean, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
But it's not like it's 10 grand a month.
Now, here's what happens, though. Watch what happens if I go from 8% to 10%. How many years do you think or how much will it go from?
If we're, I think it's going to drop to like $800 or something.
Instead of $1,472, if you can earn
10%,
it's $1,055.
Okay, so my goal is to kind of get some better earnings.
So 10% at about $1,000 a month is going to get you pretty close. The other is give yourself more time. Instead of 25 years, if you gave yourself 27 years and you earned 10%. Now it would tell you, oh, well, you need to put in $850 a month. So all these variables are going to say how much can you earn and how long do you have?
Now, what is, I just out of curiosity, so what does that math look like if I, so let's say I had $50,000 already saved, right? I'm 40 years old and I started my nest egg, but I haven't been saving as aggressively as I needed to.
So if you already had 50 grand and you needed to play catch up for 25 years, what's it look like?
Yes.
This is a great question. I'm going to take the last break. And when we come back, I will totally answer that live on air. We will do the math and explain it to people. I think you're going to be surprised at how big of a difference it makes.
All right.
Stick around. We'll be right back. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Show. If you were just joining us, it would be a fun one to go catch the podcast. We were covering some of the shortcuts and napkin, back of the napkin calculations to figure out how much money do I need to save as an investor.
And you can utilize our tools on our website, littlejohnfs.com, under the tools tab. So
the tools tab, and you can use the calculators we're talking about.
Which, by the way, I still use when people are talking about money. They're all the time. Like I go to our website and just pull them up, and I run all the numbers at different percentages. Yeah. Now, by the way, you can't put that you want to make like 30% in the market every year.
You can put that. It's just totally not grounded in
reality.
It's
a unicorn.
Right? You can, but should you?
But
I think
you?
That was the question.
Yeah, I can. Should you?
So yeah, check out the podcast also at littlejohnfs.com. You can go look under the Educate tab, and we've got all of our past podcasts.
Okay, so the fictional person, we're kind of using me but not using me, and David, we're just playing for fun. Well, so I'm 40 years old. I have 25 years to save. We figured out I need to save about $1.4 million based on the fictional person. And I'm saying, hey, David, I have been saving. I'm just not sure if I'm saving enough. So right now I'm walking in with 50 grand.
Yep.
That is in my nest egg so far. So how much should I be putting away every month to get to my goal?
Okay, so first I'm going to answer a different question. Where are you relative to average? And this is according to this study we've been tracking. You can find this on investopedia.com. It's a study about what the average person has in 401k balances by age category.
Okay.
So if you're in your 20s, average 20-something has $10,500 in savings, and they're putting about 7% of their income away.
Oh, wow.
On average.
Go 20s.
The 30-somethings have an average balance of $38,400. They're putting 8% away. The 40-somethings have an average of $93,400. They're also putting 8% away. The 50-somethings have an average balance of $160,000, and they're putting 10% away. So they're starting to play catch-up at this point. The 60-somethings are on average $182,100 account balance, and they have a contribution rate of 11%. And this is probably misleading because most people don't have 401ks by the time they're 70. You can, but many people have retired or
rolled
have pulled
them over
out of that.
Done different things,
the average 401k balance for a working 70 something is $171,400, and they're contributing 12% of their income into
that. Doesn't that sound high enough, but like you said, the numbers are a little skewed at that point.
If you're still working because you have to in your 70s, maybe it's because you want to, but it is a different dynamic. So there's some other things at play there.
Right.
But okay, using that, so
I would
you're
be behind
in the 40 somethings, right?
If I'm 40 and I only have 50,000, I'm half off of where I should be by now. So,
but what's it look like? So what we said was you're trying to get to 1.4 million
in 25 years.
You got 50,000 in the bank right now. We're going to start with
8%
a conservative annual rate of return of 8%.
Right.
And I say conservative, that may become high depending on the economic backdrop here, since we are staring at fundamental data that, no joke, looks like the Great Depression when we look at unemployment figures right now.
It's crazy.
It actually looks that crazy. But what's it look like? You have $50,000. You're going to earn 8%. You want $1.4 million. You have 25 years to save, and we're going to put the same amount in each month for the next 25 years.
Okay.
How much must you put in?
I don't know.
$1,086.19.
Okay.
Okay. So $1,086. But here's the fun thing. What if we could increase your rate of return from 8% to, let's say, we're going to push it a little bit, but let's go with 10.8%, because that was previously the long-term historical average for large cap stocks.
Okay. 10.8. Okay. I was so, like, you're busting that number
10.8.
Okay.
And when we compute that, your rate of savings needs to be $437 a month.
See, so you think like a percent, 1% or 2% is a rounding error. It's not.
It's a really big difference. It's why we pay attention to expenses, and it's why mistakes are so costly. Because if you make a mistake that costs you 3%, that can be a real ding. So,
especially late in the game, right? Like, yeah. When you talk about your money doubling, I love the one where you say your money doubles about every 7 years. When you start talking about your money doubling, like, when is it most important? At the end, when the pot is the biggest,
right.
Not in the beginning.
Yeah,
you make a 3% mistake on $1,000, it doesn't hurt. You make a 3% mistake on $1 million, it hurts a little more.
Yep. And that's the crazy thing. When's the most most valuable time that you'll double your money is the last time.
True.
Right? That's how that works.
Yeah.
But here's what I also want to
illustrate. $500 a month doesn't seem unrealistic.
But here's the other, like, if you made 8%, right? And we talk about 8%, you had to put almost $1,100 a month in. If you had started at 30 instead of 25, or I'm sorry, 30 instead of 40. So you have an extra 10 years. You don't have 25 years. You have
35 years. I just got to work forever.
take a guess at how much you're going to have to put
in. Oh, it'd be like $200 or something. $300.
$255.
See, nailed it.
It's
crazy. Isn't that nuts?
The time in the market is so important. So what I just do, I want to grab young people by the shoulders.
And shake them.
Just politely, but intentionally shake them just hard enough to get them to look at me with a little terror in their eyes and go, you
invest
have an opportunity
now.
Right now. Don't squander this.
I will tell you, you know, people talk about their life coming in regrets. I really wish somebody would have done that to me.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's not too late. There are always ways to catch up. There are other ways to create, because what we didn't talk about is we just talked about how to build a nest egg using investing. You know what we never talked about on the
show?
What
did we never talk about?
Building passive income streams to supplement right out of the gate.
All right. So stick around for next week. Passive incomes.
So passive incomes, because those are really important in a robust, comprehensive financial plan. If you want to lower the amount, you know, it increases your monthly cash flow, which means you have to rely less upon a nest egg to get you there. So there are lots of ways to rescue a retirement, and we'll talk more about those next week. In between, you can call us, right?
541-375-0898.
Okay. Also, you can email us at info@littlejohnfs.com. We're on various social media, so reach out to us. We would love to help you with your specific circumstance. But we're out of time for this time. Katie, thank you as always.
Thanks for having me.
All right, gang. Until next time, this has been David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And you've been listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240
KQEN.
The preceding program was paid for by Littlejohn Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.